Malm today. Okay, we did pretty much the Mitzvahs Rashi the Radak. Let's today learn the Malm. The Malm is on page Matrix 559. Vininve Kibrecha Smain. Okay, Gei Chizayon LaMalm. In the middle of the page, the Malm says Vininve was Kibrecha Smain. Shal Yidei Nahar Chidekel Shehitzif Oisa Nase Kibrecha Molei Mayim. Over here, he learns not like all of the other commentators that Kibrecha Smain is a symbol of blessing. All the other commentators said there's a bracha. It's an example of a bracha. No, he says that we are describing here the churban, something very different than everyone else. Nineveh will be flooded. Sha'al yidei nahar chidekel shehetzif oisa, through the river of chidekel, which flooded. Naseis kibrecha meleyamam, like a pool full of water. Omdam haloi mimehi haloi kein darka, mimei kedem, shahanahar meitzif oisa b'chol pam. It's no big deal. It's saying it's very common. Ukvar kos harav Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel, Sheninve Hoysa Tomin Malaya Mayim was always full of water. Vuhutsruchu Livnois Bateim Al Gabe Ilis, and they had to build their homes high up because it was very common on stilts. It was very common. Vimkein Haloy Zedova Rogel Sham. This is something that is very common. Vuhol Zois Vehemon Osim, nevertheless, Bo Aleim Pachad Al Yidei Hasimon. Nevertheless, they fled because they had a sign from their diviners, from their sorcerers, that told them they had sofas hanor v'nosukul. They told them, we learned this before in the Malm, that they told them that if when the city floods, that is an omen that the city will be destroyed by the enemy. Imdu kvar be'arnu. Es asher super v'divrei hayom mihakad moinim ki ha'chayil shekavshu b'chayil shekavshu os es ninve hivtichu levnehu ir shelo yasu lohem ra'ah. Okay, the army ki ha'chayil shekavshu os es ninve hivtichu levnehu ir shelo yasu lohem ra'ah, that the army that's going to conquer Nineveh will promise they're not going to cause them harm. Shelo yas ki loy bo la mulchama alo ir rak la hashpil ga'oin habliyal sardan apal. V'tzoaku aleim shelo yivrichu, and they begged them not to flee. V'zeo sha'omar imdu. Kein tzoaku aleim shelo yivrichu. Okay, so look over here what he's saying. It's very, very fascinating. And let's take a step back. Yesterday we learned that the words imdu were said by who? Were said by the king of Ashur. The king of Ashur begged his own people, do not flee. Stay here, don't betray us. We need you to fight. We need you to save the city. Don't run away. According to the Malbim, the one that told them, I'm Imdu, I'm Moidu, was who? It was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar and his army that was coming to attack Nineveh told the people, don't run away. We're not here to harm you. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to do anything evil to you. Stay put. The only reason why we have arrived in this city is to attack your leader, Sardanapal. Sardanapal was the leader. He was the king of Melech Ashur. And this leader, Sardanapal, was very arrogant. And he caused the king Agmas Nefesh. Sardanapal caused Agmas Nefesh to cause pain to Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar wanted to humble him, but Nebuchadnezzar promised the people, do not leave, I will not harm you. So he's putting the word Imdu Amoidu on the enemy. They told him, stay put. Pasuk Yud Boizu, Suba B'divrei. But ve'ein mafne, the pasuk goes on to say, ki ro'oda achozasam v'nosu ein roidev, it did not make a difference, people were not willing to listen, and they fled. Pasuk yud, bo'izu subar b'divra hayam she ha-menatzchim le'rotzu lo'gas b'shlal ninvei uva'bizo le'sholchu es yodam. That the menatzchim, okay, those who conquered Ninvei, did not want to touch the spoils of war. Ki hoya da'i lohem b'chvoid ha-nitzochoin she'kovshu es o'ir v'loi bohu ba'avur baz v'sholol Al pize yamlitz sha'omer el hamenatzrim. That's why they had to tell those who prevailed, bozu chesef, bozu zav. That's the next page 561. Take for yourself the silver and the gold. Halanim sa shalol rav ki ein ketzel l'schuna v'yesham oitzros in ketz. There is wealth beyond calculation. V'hamenatzrim mishivim and the Menatzchim, the conquerors, would respond, "We're not interested." Kavoid mikol kli chemda. The honor, the excitement, the success that we were victorious and conquered the city, to us is worth much, much more than any amount of money that we can gain by looting the city. Ritzon lemar, hakavod shel hanitzachon hu yokar v'gadol etzleinu mikol kli chemda. Banu ba'avur hakavod v'loy ba'avur hashalom. Okay, amazing what's going on over here. Pasuk Yud Aleph, buka, empty out, mitzayir ma'amod anshehu ir hakol nisroikein. Everything was emptied out. V'zeh, that's what it means, buka umivuka. V'yakol nishchas, everything was destroyed. V'zeh mivuloka, v'leiv anshehu ir nomes. The people melted, meyrov apachad, upik birkayim, be'es hanisa v'yabricha, the time, upik their legs faltered, collapsed, when they fled, v'chal chola, v'chol mosnayim, meyrov shever v'yagon, due to the terror. Okay, so over here, let's review the three, let's review that. The end of the puzzle is pretty simple, but let's over here go and read the psukim again together inside, based upon the interpretation of the Malbim. If we go back to page 558, and we read the psukim, according to his understanding, he's writing over here, Nineveh, the city of Nineveh was flooded. Kivrei chasmayim. The entire city was one big pool of water. It was flooded by what? By the chidekel. So you would think the people really should have been in a state of despair. The pasuk now says, big deal. Mimehi. This happens every Monday and Thursday. Okay, this happens all the time. So if that's the case, and that's why indeed they built the city on stilts. The city was built on a platform because this happens all the time. So what then is the problem? Vehemanosim. It doesn't matter. Even though what happened now, it became a pool of water, is mimehi, it's old news, it's nothing big, no big deal. They still fled because vehemanosim. Why did they flee? Because they were terrified. Why were they terrified? Because the sorcerers and the magicians gave them a sign that when the city will be flooded, this is a sign that the world is coming to an end. Imdu amoidu, when the conquerors entered into the city, they told them, do not run away. Do not run away. Imdu amoidu, stay put. We're not here to kill you. We're not here to steal your money. The only reason why we've come into the city is because we want to humble your leader. But ve'ein mafne, no one was willing to listen. Everyone was terrified and they left. Bozu chesef, bozu zahav. When the enemy came into the city, so the people said, they said, nu, take the money. You won. Take all the money for yourself. And there is ve'ein ketzel l'schuna, there's no end to the amount of money that you can take for yourself. And their response was, well, guess what, we're not interested. We came here for one purpose. We came here to conquer. The kavod, the honor that we get out of conquering the city is worth to us much more. Mikol keli chemda is more valuable than any desirous utensil, and we have no interest in taking all the money. Buko muvuka umivu loka. The city, the people, when they fled, they emptied out the entire city. Velev nomes, and their hearts melted. Ufik berkayim, their legs collapsed. The chal chala b'chol mastan, there was tearing all of their on their loins. Upunei chulam kibitzu parur, and the face of all of them turned black like the bottom of a pot. Okay, so we have new chidushim here that we malbim that we did not see in the other commentators. Now let's see the parish of Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvarayim.
Amen.
Okay, pasuk tes in the Avraham ben Hagra. V'ninvei kibrechas mayim mimehi v'heima nosim imdu amoidu v'ein mafne. Hiskir ois she'ema v'facha noflu aleihem en hashamayim. They remember the sign that aim and pachad fell upon them from heaven. Ki ein odam mispahel ela midavar zor shelo niso ba'ela. A person only gets afraid of the unknown. If it's, you know the routine, you're not afraid. You know exactly what goes on. Aval ninveh, kibrechas mayim mimei perish, miyamim kadmoinim, v'shoimim b'chol eis kol mayim rabim, k'kol hamoin, Same idea as the Malba. He's saying about the same thing, is that even though Nineveh, they were used to the routine. This happened all the time. There were floods, and floods, they knew exactly what to do when there is a flood. They were all prepared. There was an entire system in place, what to do. This happens all the time. Yet, this time it was different. Yeah? No, that was a different interpretation. That was according to the Mitzudos, is that these gates they opened were to flood the enemy. That is an entirely different interpretation. He's saying over here that it was a flood. That's what it appears to be. They're used to this. They're very accustomed to flooding. Yet at that time, even from a leaf, a small little leaf blowing in the wind was enough to terrify them to run away. They were terrified. So he has here a new interpretation, is that when they were running away, you have to stop off rest spots. Okay, a rest stop. They had to go to McDonald's. You ever go to rest stops when you travel? When I go to Boston, I always have my favorite McDonald's. I'm not joking.
Which one?
There's a McDonald's on the last stretch, the last 60 miles. You get onto the last highway. One of the interstates. The 90 maybe it's called, the 90? Right, you get onto the last stretch, there's a very nice McDonald's. It has alle gute Sachen. It's a massive place. And you go in their park, you go to the bathroom, and you can sit down by the table, and they have alle mini chazrai, you can possibly imagine, in shops, there's a whole mall. And it's very, very crowded, a lot of people. And, interesting, sometimes they look at me like they never saw a Jew before. And sometimes not. Sometimes, like, oh yeah, we're very familiar, it's like New York. Once you got to New York, you got to be very, very careful. Okay, the anti-Semitism, when you look at a Jew in New York, New York, everyone, no one's fazed by anything.
Right.
Outside New York, they never saw a Jew. They see a guy with a black hat, they see a guy with payas, tzitzis, tefillin, they think it's a bomb. You put on tefillin in an airport outside of New York in this country, they literally, if they're not been trained, they think you're all wired up to blow yourself up. You're a self, that's not a joke.
In Berlin, in the airport.
They don't know what it is. They've never seen, they really don't know. We've got to be very, very careful. In Brooklyn, you go to Kennedy, big deal. You can do whatever you want. You can do somersaults. No one will give you a second look. In LaGuardia, Kennedy, in New York, but outside, you'll be there. I once went to Indianapolis. And boy, did they look me over. I davened Shmona Esrei. I had a whole SWAT team around. I'm not joking. I had a SWAT team. This cup just leaked all over me. All right. I had a SWAT team. A SWAT team came. A nice stain on the shirt now. Okay.
Yeah. You should have worn a red yarmulke to say you're an emissary of the Pope.
What?
You would have worn a red yarmulke. You would have respected. You would have bowed. I
told you, in Montreal, they tried to open my film.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. There was once a terrible scandal. I remember some people, they would open up their tefillin, their batim. It's okay, it's fine. Don't worry about it, it's fine. They put diamonds, smuggled diamonds in their batim.
Yeah.
They took tefillin.
That happened.
It was a gefer l'chachil
Hashem. They used to do it with the Sivri Mason also.
Put in the coffins.
Yeah, in the box. You had to put a big box with ice.
Terrible. Okay, so this is very, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You never know, you know, I stopped in Moscow one time. I got with a millionaire in the airport, and it blew so.
Moscow, you can, you know, usually Moscow also. Moscow is different. I don't know what Moscow. I went to Moscow. I went to Aeroflot,
right.
And they it was such a chaver there. Wow, like a whole. Must have been a few hundred people. It happened to be that it was a time it was Lag BaOmer season. I went for a simcha, but it was Lag BaOmer season, and there were many people that were going for Lag BaOmer, and it seemed like. Okay, it seemed like for some reason very familiar. Okay, but I went to Indianapolis as an individual, and I daven mincha, and I'm not joking.
Middle America, they don't know from nothing.
They know from nothing, mamish from nothing, and they get scared. They see tefillin, they go wild. These things are bomb. They see wires.
Yeah.
They think it's mamish bomb. They get very, very scared. They're very, very careful. So over here, he's writing over here in this. We got, how do we get into this? Because over here in there, Avraham ben Hagra, he writes over here. They're used to this. Okay, saying over here is that the people there, it's no big deal. Okay, I think they're not used to. They're very accustomed. They're accustomed to this situation of flooding. But yet, because Rabbi Sai, Mr. Planning, but because over here there was a a bad omen. The people melted. Okay, the media did a job on society like you can't. Like I'm just going on today. Today, people are just going out of their minds. Maybe for good reason. I don't know. I know nothing. I don't think anyone knows anything. But, yeah. Who knows? No one knows. But
don't panic. God's in control.
Really?
What does that mean? What?
Well, I'll read more.
Whatever will be. What do you can do about
God
it?
God is my co-pilot.
Realize?
But whatever it says over here is that the people over here, they were in a state of panic, even though they were familiar with the routine. Because there was an omen. There were these magicians and sorcerers and stargazers and people that dug up the dead, spoke to the dead, and they told them that when this thing happens, the world is coming to an end. And they fled in a state of panic. Then he says, Imdu, this is something that is going to be new now. Imdu Amoidu in Mafneh. They fled so quickly, they had to go to rest stops. They had to stop every because they were going so quickly. They had a rest. The yoyser shenichshalu be'ais mirutzasam. More than stumbling at the time of their running, the huchruchu la'amud, they had to stop. Lasakein to adjust their packages. I lafushed be'emsa mirutzasam pa'am shaynis many times. The ein min ha'oyev mafne elav. None of the enemies turned to them. Lusafsoi chay moylah misoi. It says they fled. They thought they by mistake that the enemy is coming to kill them, and that was a mistake. The enemy couldn't care less about them. The only thing the enemy wanted here was their money. They wanted the kesef and the zav. They were not interested in killing them, and thus they fled for no reason. They just could have given them the money. They would have been satisfied. Pasuk Yud, Boizu Chesed, Boizu Zav, Ein Ketz L'Schuna, Kavod Mikol Kli Chemda, Perush, Ein Ritzoynem Rak Lov, Livzoyz Baz Kesef Ezav, Ein Ketz L'Schuna, there was no desire, then there's no end to their wealth. Okay, now the next page, on page 560, Maskoynes Halaveinim, what does that word mean? What's the word mean, L'Schuna? So he makes a very interesting parallel. Maschoines halaveinim, the calculation, the quota of bricks. Perush shiur halaveinim sheyasu b'chol yom, the number of bricks that was required every single day, the quota. V'chein kasa v'chein kan perushu ve'in ketzel l'shir hakavoid shalan asoinei. There is no shir to the honor of the enemy. Sheboi zeis es ninvei zeis yun am lohem. This is more pleasant to them. He called klichem da sheshoilim shama. If you notice, he has done over here something very, very interesting. He has said, not like everyone above, that the word "ein ketzel lischuna" is not referring to wealth; it's referring to the kavod. All of the commentators that we have discussed so far have taught us that this expression "ein ketzel latichuna" is referring to money, assets, wealth. There is no end to the amount of money you can gain, you can take for yourself when you conquered Nineveh. That's how we have learned until now, according to all of the commentators. Along comes Rabbi Avraham ben Agra, and he says that's a mistake. There is a limit to the money. There's kesef and there's zav in small quantities. If you're lucky, you'll get some. If you're not lucky, you're not going to get. You'll go home poor. But one thing that you will get, you will march in a parade when you come home, and they'll throw ticker tape from the top of the building, and you'll be on television, and there'll be no limit to the honor that you will gain. You'll go on every talk show, radio, television show to talk about what it was like to liberate, to conquer the city of Nineveh. Ein Keitze, Latichuna, is referring to the Keitze. There's no end to the measure of kavod, which is worth mikol kli chemda. Okay, so it's very interesting how Rabbi Aaron ben Agra, he takes this expression, keitze latichuna, and applies it to the word kavod, in contrast to the other commentators who take the word in keitze latichuna and apply it to the money. Okay, next, pasuk yud aleph. In Rabbi Aaron ben Agra, buka, he writes a buka umuvuka umivuluka, three words, velev nomes, upik birkayim v'chal chala, mikol masnayim, mikol masnayim, ufnei kulam kibitzu parur, kevan shezachar ha'oyev, since once we mentioned the enemy, enoi mafne el hanefashois, rak el habiza. Once now, we are describing the enemy, we're not going to, the enemy is not looking, the enemy according to Rabbi Aaron ben Agra is not coming to kill anyone, the enemy is only interested in money. Omar gam achre shehi buka, Vereka min shetef mayim, even after the city is buka vereka because of the flood, umevuka v'nisroikna mikol klichemda umeveluka perish kol choymoy soir v'yamanosecha hima perutzim v'nisroitetzim, all of the walls of the city have been broken open and been crushed. Oz lohoye pachel lochem min oyev sheyavei olav oid, they were no longer afraid. Aval Hashem nosan lochem leiv moirech al ad shlibam namas. Upuka b'chol berkayim, their legs faltered. The chalchola b'chol masnayim, ki lamelchama tzrichim arba'a devarim. Look what he writes over here. An incredible chiddush. When you go to war, you need four things. Azus, baponim, k'moy nomer, chutzpah, v'leiv aryeh bigvurasai, you need a strong heart, resolve, v'amitz berkayim, you need to be physically strong, La'amoid b'kishrei ha'mulchama, to stand in the difficult points of war, uzrizus gedoyla v'raba b'mosnaim, and swiftness, loshuv heina v'heina, good reflexes, v'chol eitz v'rega el haruach shayifna oyev, to where the enemy may turn, oy melofanav, oy me'acharav, oy mitzdadin, efes anshe ninvei. However, the people of Nineveh had nothing. All four were missing. All of their anxieties have come together. Okay, so he said over here something that is absolutely fascinating. You have to go to Fort Knox, though you have to go to West Point. Okay, present this Rabbi Avraham ben Agra to the professor in West Point and see the big senior professor in West Point and see what they say. According to him, he's learning shot in this past, and you go to where you need four different qualities. Chutzpah. Okay, if you're a nice guy, you're not going to get anywhere in where you have to have azus, chutzpah. Number two, you have to have a strong heart, resolve, a lev arye bigvurasai. Resolve, a desire to get the mission done. Number three, you have to be physically strong. And number four, what I think it really means is you have to have superb reflexes. Okay, you know who really needs today's superb reflexes? Us sports. Okay, a major, a professional, the first thing you need today in any professional sport, baseball, football, basketball, is reflexes that are literally lamala Midera Chateva. Okay, I once saw a scientific analysis. This blew my mind. How much time a person, a professional baseball player, has to make a decision if he should swing the bat?
Right.
Okay, if you are at
it's
bat,
the hardest thing to do in sports, basically.
They broke it down. It's just not real. They broke it down into a science with technology to show from the time the ball leaves the hand of the pitcher until the moment when that ball will cross the plate, how much time it takes. I don't remember any of the details. Probably you can go see this in a YouTube video online, how much time it takes, and the amount of time. They broke everything down into science. How much time does it take you to swing the bat? It takes a certain amount of time. And then you also have to swing at a certain angle in order to make contact to decide, is this going to be a fastball? Is this going to be a ball to the right, to the left? Exactly in which direction? And you have literally the teeny, teeny fractions of a second to make that decision when the ball leaves the hand of the pitcher. Now, the average person cannot in any way or shape or form respond with such speed. Can a person train himself? Well, I guess I'm assuming that if you have the reflexes,
they're gifted. It's not when
they're gifted, exactly.
It's not when it leaves the pitcher's hand. It's when it's halfway across. After
no, there is okay, halfway. Okay, but that the difference
when it's
of
coming close to the plate. That's when they.
But it takes time for you to swing. How long does it take you to physically swing? If you're holding the bat like this, the amount of time it takes you to physically swing, if you're going to first make the decision when the ball is halfway between the pitcher and the plate, it's too late. So you already have to begin the swing, and you have to make an adjustment when the ball gets to a certain point. The amount of time you need is not humanly, the average person cannot humanly make that decision. You have to have a special gift to make that decision to be successful. And every sport, in every professional sport, it's like that. In one way or another. So he's saying over here that when it comes to war, it's the same exact thing. In war, you need to be gifted. You need reflexes, unique reflexes to make you into a warrior. And that is critical. You don't think about that. But maybe be a good soldier, follow orders, be brave. No, he's saying here that to be a soldier, you have to have these four ingredients. And he reads this into the pasuk. He says here, v'lev nomes, the lev is gevura. Ufik birkaya means physical strength. V'lev nomes means that you have resolve. You really want to win. Many people in life, they don't want to win. They don't care. They really don't want to win. So I'll lose. It's just, you know, just an activity. It's an activity of life. Yes, I'll win, I'll lose, whatever. I don't really care. It doesn't really mean much to me. As long as I get my check. As long as the money comes and no one bothers me, I'll do what I need to do. No, you have to really want to win. Okay? Trump really wants to win. That's what makes him a good president. Trump, he has that need. He wants to win. He doesn't want to be a loser. Many people...
He has the answers.
I think Obama, he wants to be a loser. He wants to lose. He wants to give away. He wants a... It's like a certain hashkafa. Yeah, you want to be a loser. There's definitely truth. That what?
Why do you say that? He was president 8 years ago.
But his whole attitude was to give away the country. Let everyone take advantage of us. Let everyone take advantage.
Be their friend.
Yeah, let everyone. We shouldn't be the aggressor. We should be the nebuch. We should be the victim. Better be the victim. There's such a principle. There are people that have this midah. Better be the victim. Because the victim, new Nebuch, you're the victim, it evokes sympathy, you've done nothing wrong, you're a good guy, everyone feels good for you. It's a certain emotional response. There is something to it. In Yadus, many times in Yadus, people, you know, Jews, they like to be, they feel they're the good guy. They feel it's good to be the victim. You're the victim, you know, so therefore, at least you know you did nothing wrong. And then other people, don't step on me. You punch the guy out. You want to win at any cost, no matter what it is, I'm going to win. It's a certain meter. You see that by Trump. Trump cannot tolerate losers. Trump always has to win. And in war, if you don't have that meter, get out of the battlefield. You're no good.
He bad mouthed McCain because he was captured.
Exactly. So McCain looks a Milo. You see, I'm a victim. You see that I was a soldier, a victim. Everyone should love me and bow down and rachmanis upon me. You're a loser. What do you mean? That's a Milo to be captured. You're a loser. It's a midah. It's a certain midah, and that it says here in this pasuk is critical when you're on the battlefield because your life is on the line. You don't send out people to battle to lose. you send them out to win. And that's called a lev of an Aryeh, resolve to win. Pick Birkayim means physical strength. You don't join the Marines unless you can pass the physical. Okay, probably, who can pass the physical to join the Marines? Very few people. Okay, you have to do these crazy, outrageous things. Every single thing you do to be a
SEAL.
The SEAL, a Navy SEAL. It's not real what you got to do. You got to be physically fit. That's called a pick birkayim. Okay, so the chalchala b'chol masnayim. Which one of the four is that? To be chalchala b'chol masnayim. It seems to say that is zrizos. Okay, he says to be quick. The chalchala b'chol masnayim appears to be the midah of reflexes. You have to be gifted. That's what he says over here in the Rambam Nagra. The chalchala v'zrizos gedoyla v'rabba b'masnayim. Losh of Haina, Vahaina, Bukhal Ace, Vedega, El Ruach, Shayif Nehaiv, Oymilfne, Omacharav, Oymitstadim. And what's the last one? The last one is Ufne Kulam Nikbitsu Parur, he says, is the Chutzpah, is the Az, is the Azus. Azus Panim, he says, is you'll do crazy things. Chutzpah. And if a person has anxieties, he's translating this in a very unique way. Kulam nikbitsu parur. All of their anxieties have collected together, have come together, and their face is black. In other words, they're not mechutzafim. They're not willing to do outrageous things. You got to do crazy things in war in order to succeed. Things that are not conventional. Okay, break all the rules.
It's interesting describing the soldier, the warrior, but yet so many times when these warriors went into on the political end, they lost all these medals.
All the Israeli politicians.
Yeah.
All the Israeli, the difference between America and Israel. In America, a politician never step foot in the military. They don't even know what the military is. They have to teach the president, you know, they are different branches of the military. There's the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force. Now they have a fifth. They have now a fifth. The Coast Guard, they have a fifth. They have now, but yeah, they have a new division now. It's true, a new division. So they don't even know what these things are. In Israel, a prerequisite to go become a politician is to serve in the IDF. Did Netanyahu serve?
Sure.
Netanyahu served?
He was an elite. He was with
Barak. Barak? Netanyahu?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that. His brother went to Entebbe. His brother was killed in Entebbe. He was in America when his brother was killed. He was in America in college. He said, didn't spend too much time in the military.
He was on the plane, when they stormed the plane on Moody Airport.
Yeah.
72. Barak was head of the unit, and Netanyahu was
one of the soldiers. Okay, I don't know that. Okay.
It's an elite unit.
Okay, very interesting. So, you know, in Israel, that's a very interesting phenomenon that the politicians, all of them, kimat, every...
The basic law of the land is that everybody...
goes to the serves.
Right.
So if you didn't serve in the military, but not just serve, they were all generals. All the politicians weren't just, they were in the IDF, you know, carrying, setting up the table, the janitor. Okay, there are many different roles you can serve in the IDF. All the politicians in Israel, kimat, all of them are all generals. They were all very high-ranking officers, very high-ranking people. That's a very interesting phenomenon that you don't have in America. It gives you a whole different perspective when it comes to making decisions that affect... What?
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower was a general, right. I'm talking about modern times. I'm talking over here, like...
PT boats.
Bush was a pilot, but this generation is gone already.
Right, but even the people, right? Shoot, Bush Senior, Bush. What about Bush W? What did he do?
Nothing.
He didn't do anything. Bush W. Bush Senior could have been killed many times. He went on extremely dangerous missions. Bush W was the Bush Senior was is Bamish Bikuch Nefesh. But the modern day politicians they didn't do very much. Even if those who did go to the military, they were not like in positions of in leadership positions. Any of them over here, this is really an incredible chiddush. This is unbelievable. What he's saying over here is he's saying over here the four and he reads this into the pasuk, four different, incredible thing. What he's saying, four qualities a soldier needs. You need a resolve, a lev gibor. You need chutzpah to do unconventional things. When I went to the Sima Shas, so we did, our group went to the Sima Shas, did unconventional things to get there. What happened? There was one person there who we were very angry with. We had a little small group, went, and he was very leisurely. No, I'm going to pay. We have a car service. We wanted to go public transportation. No, you come with me. I have a driver. A driver of, you know, fancy limousine, not a little, whatever, nice SUV with his driver. He's going to pay for it, and, you know, he's going to go like a politician. Come there. He's in his pajamas. He's not ready to go. No. When are we going to go? Till he finally kriks out. Then we got to pick up this guy, and we're rolling our eyes. What a chutzpah. I would have taken public transportation like I did last time. But in there, 9 o'clock in the morning. What kind of garbage is this? All right, what am I going to do? I'm not going to insult them at this point. So we're going, and all of a sudden, there is standstill traffic. Okay? And at this rate, we're going to miss the whole Sima Shas. We'll come there in the middle. We'll come there 2 hours late. So we got our smartphones, and we figure out, go to the American Dream parking lot. And they are good, by the way. They were very smart. They knew there were people like us who were crazy people. And they knew that we would do, they wrote there in the letter how to go. They said, whatever you do, don't get out of the car. If you go by car and you don't go public transportation and you find that we're right and there's a lot of traffic and you're stuck, don't get out of the car and start walking. It's dangerous. Don't do this. You're not allowed to do this. So they wrote that you're not allowed to do this. So first we're stuck. So then we say, you know, we got to get into the other lane, but there's a barrier. How are we going to get to the other? The barrier was like being like a sidewalk. So we told the driver, just go over the barrier. That was not a good idea. And he went, we forced him, and he went like basically onto the side, like a mountain, crazy. Okay, and we got, and then it was smooth sailing. We were going, mamish, we were going. And then nochamo, we came to another section. So what do? Abandon ship. We violated the protocol, we got out. And we started walking.
But you left the driver.
Of course. Too bad for him. It's too bad the driver. We left the driver. We abandoned ship. We started walking. And the guy who didn't want, he was very angry. We didn't care about him. Too bad for you now. You're going to have to walk now. He was very upset. We forced him out of the car. We took him with us. And we started walking. We made a chesed. It would take us 25 minutes to walk. But at least we would come basically towards the very beginning. We would come to Lev Mincha. And we started going. And we're going, and we have no idea where we're going. Because all we know is that, you know, we're on the way, and it's pretty close. We made a cheshbon with Waze, whatever, the whole cheshbon. And we're going, and then we're going. And then I turn around, and guess what? Everyone saw what we did, and everyone abandoned ship. We have behind us a whole 100 people started following us. The blind leading the blind. And we got there. It was a very good decision. We got there. We walked 20 minutes. We got there in time. So what am I trying to tell you over here? We did unconventional things. Unconventional things. That's called chutzpah. In war, you have to be a mechutzef. You have a mission. You have protocol.
Find the car going home?
Yeah, of course. Whatever. You're driving.
Still
in the parking lot.
Still the same place okay. Where you left it.
So the point I'm trying to make over here is, when you go to war, you know, there are rules. There are rules of engagement. There's a plan. You've all seen enough of these television shows, right? There's a plan. But, you know, if you want to get the job done in war, there are times when you have to act with chutzpah, which means do unconventional things that are not on the script, not on the plan. So that is what he teaches. His teacher is kibitzu parur. If a person is full of anxiety, if all of your anxieties have collected and come against you, you're not going to be willing to have the chutzpah to do unconventional things. That's part of the rules of being a good soldier in the understanding of Rabbi Avraham ben Agra. Now you'll say in the United States, you'll be court-martialed. You'll be a military tribunal for not obeying orders to get the mission done. So guess what? Doesn't matter. If you're not going to have that chutzpah, you're not going to get the mission done. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices. You have to make a calculation. This is how he teaches the words, kulam, all of them, all of what? All of your anxieties, kibitzu, have collected, have ganged up against you, parur, to the degree where your face is black like a pot, and you're not willing to be as kinomer, to do strange things to get the job done. Okay, then going backwards, what does it mean to chalchola b'chol masnayim? That means you must have good reflexes. If you don't have a good reflex, if you're not fit to be a major league baseball player and swing the bat after only a fraction of a second, forget it. You're not going to be a good soldier. And if you're in a state of terror, b'chol masnayim, you don't know where to turn swiftly. You're not agile. You don't have those reflexes. Get out of the battlefield. Number three, going backwards, upik birkayim. You have to be physically strong to pass the physical. Even to be, even in New York City, if you want to be a work for the fire department, they give you a physical. It's not even with sanitation. No, it's sanitation department. Sanitation. Do you know what it takes to pass the physical to work for the sanitation department? I don't think anyone in this room could pass. maybe the people downstairs can pass. No, that's not. Maybe people downstairs, maybe they can pass. But not people in this room. People in Koilel. People in Koilel. What?
Women are sanitation.
Excuse me.
I pity their husbands.
They have a low understanding. Fireman, the same thing. You have to be able to be a fireman. You have to be able to lift 160 pounds.
Because you have to carry someone down that ladder.
But so for women to come, they can't lift 160 pounds.
Okay, it's not real what you need.
Put them up on the ladder.
That's called upik birkayim. And lev names means you want to be a winner. You have to have a psychological analysis. I would imagine you go every soldier you bring to a shrink, and you analyze his mind. Does this guy want to be a winner or does he want to be a loser? Like we discussed, Trump versus Obama. Trump, he cannot tolerate losers. Win, 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 win. And Obama, yeah, give away the country. I want to be the victim. I love to be the victim. You have to want to be. These, according to Rabbi Nagura, this is amazing stuff. How he learns shot in the pasuk. He takes this pasuk and he says, in order to be a soldier, you need four qualities. And here, at this tekufa, in the nation of Asher, they were lacking all four qualities. And thus, they didn't stand a chance to be able to overcome the enemy. Okay, let's take a look over here at the chidah. The chidah is always very enlightening. Back in the previous page, there's 559. V'ninveh is kibrechas mayim. Kosa b'sefer oimer hashicha. Perush mishle. B'daf kuf yitches amur alef. Shekabol b'yodah mehakadmoinim. Sheninveh hi shin rei shin alef lamed. Now what does that mean? Beino. Beino, lebein, I don't know what those words are, aleph lamed, gezir, kimo yoim, v'nachum, nisnabe, di acheres ninve, shetitva, b'yom, v'yale oleho hayam, v'yishtefeno. So what does it mean over here, sharosh el? Okay, I have no idea what he's saying over here, the Kabbalistic concepts. And there was a, nachum was nisnabe, the end is going to be, the ninve is going to be drowned. The yam is going to surge. V'yale olach hayam is going to flood. Ka'oim roi v'ninve kibrechas mayim v'chol oisa hanavuam moira sh'achariso hu zeh v'chein hoya. Okay, I have no idea what this means. All we know is that there's a nevua, as it says over here, v'ninve kibrechas mayim, that Ninve is going to be flooded. V'yamu yoshvei hakifar hazeh shel shin rei shin alef lamid sheh that when they go out to swim in the sea, and the yam is shaykeit mizapo, is calm, it calms down from its anger. It looks to them like the homes are underground. It has been sunken in the sea, only a village. The oid herich b'zeh ayin sham. Okay, he's saying over here is that there's an underground that today indeed the scuba divers can find a city submerged in water. Okay, there are such things today where they actually go scuba diving and they go and they find cities that used to be obviously on dry land, and today for whatever reason they are submerged below water, and Nineveh is one of those such cities. Okay, there are no Amar Chazal here. So now let's go to the next section. Let's go down to the Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis. Ayei me'oin aroyos. Over here we're coming to mock them and say, what happened over here to this? Where have you all gone? Ayei, where is the only one of aroyos of the lions? Umirehu lakifarim. And the pasture for the villages. Asher holach aryeh lavi sham. And aryeh, over here we're mentioning different types of lions. There's an aryeh, there's a lavi sham, gur aryeh, another lion, there's a gur. And again, he repeats the word Aryeh, Ve'ein Macharid, and no one is afraid. Let us read the word to the end of the paragraph, then we'll come back with the Mitzvah Sabbath. Aryeh, Torev Bidei Goyreis, the word Gor is another word for a lion. The Aryeh grabs away in the Bidei from the hands of the Goyreisov, of its young, Umechanek Lil Ve'oisov, it chokes the Lavi, another name of a lion, Vayimale Teref Choyrov, and it provides Teref for Choyrov, another name of a lion, and in its abode it provides food. One more pasuk, then we'll go back. Hashem concludes, I am coming against you, so says Hashem, Vivarti v'ashon rechba, I will burn with smoke its chariots, uchefiraich taichal cheref, and your young will eat the sword, v'rkavt v'hichrati me'eretz tarpeich, I will cut off from the earth your young, and you will not be heard, the sound of your king. Okay, we read the words. Now let's see the translation. Starting back on Pasuk Yud Beis, back in the Mitzvah Stavit, Pasuk Yud Beis, back on page 561, in the Mitzvah Stavit. Aye me'oin arayois, Amar derech kina. This is a lament. Aye ninveh shehoisa midor arayois umokim mira el hakefirim. What does that mean? It's poetic. It used to be back in the day that the city of Nineveh was a place, was a palace, was a place where the lions, the mighty people, would come there to rest. Would go there. So now let's translate. What happened to this Ma'on Arayos? Nineveh used to be the capital of the world. All of the lions, which in this context means it's a metaphor for the kings, the mightiest and most important people would visit, would take up residence, this beautiful city. It was a mirehu lakifarim. It was a place of pasture for the little lions, meaning other diplomats. Anyone that had any significance in this world, anyone that was in the book of the who's who of this world, would have some dealings or some connection to the city of Nineveh. And now, what has happened to the city? Asher holach ritzayin loymar asher hayoholich v'yetsim yishem ha'ariv v'lavi l'chol pe'el sa'ilam. People in the past would go forth from there to all parts of the world, litroiv teref, to accomplish things. Voyenishar sham gurei ha'arye hema banim kitanim. They would leave their little children there. V'yashu bebitcha. They would sit there in security. V'lohoyim mi'macharidim. No one would bother them. Ritzon lomar ha'melech v'hagiborim yatzu l'shlol shalol u'bneiam nish'adu b'mekayimam b'bitachon rav, with security. The people who dominated this city, the kings and the powerful people, would go out on world wars to conquer, to accomplish things, and would leave their children alone in this city with absolutely nothing to worry about. It was the safest place in the world. So Nachum Ol Pasuk, according to the Mitzvah Stavit, we're now expressing a lament. Ayei, what has happened to this magnificent city? The Ma'on, the abode of the Aroyos, of the mighty people, Umirehu Lakefirim, it was a place of pasture of by the young lions, by other mighty people. It was such a beautiful city and such a place of security and serenity. Asher holach aryeh lavi sham. Who would go forth from there? The aryeh and the lavi. two different names of lions. They would go forth from there out into the world to accomplish and to conquer. And they would leave over in the city with the nanny, their little babies, their children. And there was nothing what to worry about. No one would dare cause them any harm because it was the safest place in the world. Gur Aryeh, they would leave over there. Ashaholach Aryeh Lavi, I think, comma, Sham Gur Aryeh, they would leave over there. No, Aryeh, Holach Aryeh. How did, one more time, let me see the Mesuzah, one more time, my entire time, where he puts the comma, Ashaholach, Ritzon Lamar, Ashaholach Vaholech Vyotse Misham. Aryeh v'halavi, he puts the word lavi with the word sham together. The Aryeh and the lavi would go forth from there, and he would leave over in the city the gur and the Aryeh, and he was not afraid. The yotzei misham v'Aryeh v'halavi v'chapeis olam l'tzav teref, and he would leave there his children. He would not be afraid. Nothing would go wrong. Okay, next pasuk gimel in the mitzvah stavid, Aryeh toref. The Aryeh that would go forth would conquer. Goy roisav heim banav hakitanim. V'hoyu mechanik v'horeg mechayos hasodel l'havi el liv oisav. The Aryeh would rip apart bidei goy roisav on behalf of his babies, and would mechanik would strangle wild animals in order to provide for liliv oisa for the babies. Hey manikevosa for the females. Okay, so we have a little bit of a title. Let's review. We have over here the word Aryeh. Aryeh is the adult male lion. Who is his wife? Who is Mrs. Aryeh? That's the lovey. The lovey is the female lion which stays home to watch the children and to do the cooking and do the laundry.
The lioness is the more fierce of the lions, by the way.
So the lion provides for the lovey, for the missus. And who else does it provide for the goy roisav? Who are the goy roisav? The babies, the kindalach. Mm-hmm. What does he do? He's vayimalei teref. He goes and he provides teref as food. Back to the mitzudos David. Vayimalei. Vehoya memalei hachoyrim sheyoyshe bochem min ateref. He would provide Ha-choyrim, what's the word choyrim? The holes. The hole means, the choyrav means the home, the cave. The lions live in a cave. So den. In the den. So the adult Aryeh would bring food home to the den. Vayimali, vahoyim emali, ha-choyrim, sheyeshebuchem min ha-teref. The chaval devarav yamar ume oinoisav, and then the pasuk repeats itself, the same concept, the chayrav, the den, ume oinoisav, that is the cave with terefa. V'mashal al malchei ninve v'sarecha shahayu mivim shalal rav, they would bring an abundance of spoils, dei tzarech b'nehem unishoisehem, for their children and for their wives, umilu artzam in ha'osher sheshalalu, and they would fill up their country with the wealth that they have collected when they went out to conquer the world. Yeah?
All these words, Terah, Aryeh, and Lavi, are all included in the bracha that Yaakov gave
to Yehuda. Unbelievable. Okay, there's a similarity.
Gur Aryeh Yehuda miterah b'ni Elisa korvavot ka'aryeh ukulavi.
Beautiful. So that's the parallel. At least we learn from over here is the Aryeh is the male adult, the Lavi is the female adult, and the lioness, and the goyrois of the babies, are the kindalach. And the previous pasuk, also the same words, they're the same, ayei me'oin ayroyos, umirahu la kefirim. Now the kefir is another word. Okay, that's a fourth word. A kefir is also a lion. Heim, the mitzudos see in the previous page says, mishemois ha'aryeh. So he's not telling us exactly what is the difference between an Aryeh and a kefir. He's clearly defined an Aryeh as the adult male, the lovi as the adult female, the goyroisav as the babies, and what is a kefir? Also seems to be some category, another category of the line. If I'm not mistaken, there are seven names for a lion. There are seven different stages. Okay, that could be those are other creatures. I'm not sure those are lions. There are seven names for lions. So here at least we have four of them. We have at least four of them, okay? Let's finish up with the Mitzudos, the one more Pasuk. And now the Pasuk goes on to say, V'hinyal Eilayich, Hine Ani Al Elochim B'chor Hashem says, I will go to war against you, V'hivarti, Esroif Roif Arechav Sheba, B'ho'aloas Oshon Hashemayim, look at all the Shreif, it's going to be a very big fire. Here we have the word Uchifir again, Ritzon Lomar, also for the children. B'nei Malachim B'zaram, Toichal Acherev, the fire will consume, V'chirati Ritzon Lomar, Oid Loi Titreif B'aretz Lishol Lesha Umos, you will no longer be able to go conquer the world. Kol Mam Ochecha. What is the word Mal Ochecha? Miloshoin Maloch V'sholiach. It means a messenger. Shahoyu mirimim kol al aritzos ha'amim liyorim ulahav ulevahalom, to terrify them. K'moish osa Rav Shoke. Who was Rav Shoke? Rav Shoke was the messenger of the kingdom of Ashur. Rav Shoke would come to the walls of Yerushalayim and would threaten them. Rav Shoke, Chazal say, was an apostate. He was a Jew who turned to the other side. He became loyal to the kingdom of Ashur. And what was so tragic was he knew the religion from the inside. And he knew the language. And that was what was so frightening. When he would taunt the Jewish people, he would taunt them in Lashon HaKodesh. Ordinarily, when an enemy would come and would taunt the Jewish people, he would speak in their native language. And the Jews did not know the language, so they needed a translator. And a lot gets lost in the translation. But here Rav Shoke, who once upon a time was a religious Jew, and he knew Lashon HaKodesh very well, and when he would come and stand outside the wall and taunt Klal Yisrael that Sancheirev is going to attack and destroy you, he spoke in Lashon HaKodesh. And this was terrifying to hear firsthand in the holy tongue this man insult and threaten Klal Yisrael. And one of the complaints that Chizkiah said to Rav Shoke was, you want to curse us? Go right ahead. But please, don't curse us in Lashon HaKodesh, because you're terrifying the people. You want to curse us? Curse us in a foreign language. So Rav Shoke was a messenger. He was a messenger of Sancheirev. Shahayu mirimim kol al haratzos ha'amim liyom v'halom k'mosh osa Rav Shoke al Yishlaim k'mosh nemar b'molochim v'yishaya. Okay, so let's translate this pasuk. Let's translate it very quickly one more time. We're done. Let's go back to Pasuk Yibes and translate the Pesukim now that according to the Mitzvot of it. Are we coming to lament? Ayei me'oin arayos. What happened to this city of Nineveh? Nineveh was once upon a time equivalent to an abode of mighty, powerful people called arayos. Umirihu lakefirim. It was a place of pasture for their children, and it was safe and secure to the degree where the mighty, the parents, or at least the father, Asher Holach Aryeh Lavi Sham, and the Aryeh and the Lavi, the male lion and the female lion, would leave the comfort of the city to go out into the world and to conquer. And Gur Aryeh would leave over their children, the Gur of the Aryeh, would leave them home, and the Ein Macharit. They were not afraid that some would harm their children. And what would they do out there when they went out to the world? They were Aryeh, Toireif, Bidei Goyroisov. It would rip apart prey on behalf of the children. Umechanek, it would choke other wild animals on behalf of Liv Oisov, for its wife, for its females. Vayimali Tedef Choyrov, it would fill up with food its dens, Umeoinoisov, and its caves with Trefa, with another word for food. And Hashem says, that is going to come to an end. Now this city is going to be destroyed. Hinni Eilayich Num Hashem Tzvokas. So says Hashem Tzvokas, I'm going to destroy you. Viv Arti V'oshan Richba, I will burn with smoke your chariots. Uchefirayich Teichal Chorev, and your young children will be eaten up by the sword. V'hichrati Me'eretz Tarpeich, and your food will be cut out of the land. V'lo Yishama Oid Kol Mal Ochecha, and your king, your messengers, your emissaries, your ambassadors will no longer be heard, because the entire country will come to a brutal end. Okay, we'll stop here.
That's how a lion attacks. It goes right to the jugular. They don't bite you like in the rear end or something.
Please.
They just jump right at the throat.
Please, if you have a coffee or you have tissues, take care of it yourself. Throw it away. Don't let someone else have to throw it away.
Get dirty.
Stop.
Bring it to
the mayor. Yeah, bring it to me. I'll to David.
Yeah, who think today? A letter came out from a Moshe Sternberg and the Brisker, who's his son and brother-in-law, saying that Chazal Chalila, Zion is a mole, you're not allowed to vote, all the people that were against it. They're crazy because they were the same issue was against Hefer Shlomo, and all of everyone's in the Rabbanut now. And Usha Weiss has a recording where he says you should go out and vote.
Who?
You know, Usha Weiss.
That's not, a riot. He's the only he's a modern guy.
But he's a Pisic.
He's a modern person. It's not a riot.
Anyway, it's already there. Everyone's come out with a Zetlach. According to the Ramban, you can do Parsha Zohar from a Chumash at home. You shouldn't dare go out.
That's right. That's right. Ace Lassus.
And the grandparents are saying the kids are at home. There's no one to take care of the kids. We're working there all, in all the parks are filled with young kids and old people.
How? What's going to be?
This is all overblown fake news. It's fake news.
Why is it fake news?
I'll tell you why. How many people a year die from food in America?
I don't know.
Around 50,000.